Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Saints, the world is in great turmoil. Most don't realize it, but we're in the time of the end. That's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight if you haven't already. If you need help after the program, call me and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 878-4682. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio programs, and even our mailing address at our blog. And today's date is Thursday, March 29, 2012. Information at 620-878-4682. My notes was a little messed up there, folks, but it is still 2012. Anyway, in an emergency, you can reach me by my cell phone number, which is 316-619-4886. And remember to check out our blog, which is prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com, for all kinds of information. Let's say a prayer and bring on this very important guest tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio goes tonight according to your will, and not necessarily mine or our radio guests, but to your will. And please give all ears and wish to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, we had Messianic Rabbi Jonathan Cain on with us not very long ago. On that program, he told us of harbingers that have been pronounced on this nation, starting with 9/11. And then connected it also to the economic crash. Tonight, we're going to talk about something equally as important. Tonight, we speak with someone who has written a book called The Next Nightmare. A book like Khan's, The Harbinger, I wish that I could put in the hands of every American. And I do really mean that, folks. You need to figure out how you can buy case lots of this book and pass them out everywhere because, we'll just go on with it. This book warns just how political correctness will destroy America. That's right, folks. Destroy America. The foreword to this book was done by Congressman Alan West, who says this book is a must-read for all concerned Americans, and I totally agree with him. Our guest, Peter Thiemann, was unanimously elected to Florida's Republican National Committeeman. A distinguished trial attorney in Florida for 30 years, Thiemann was appointed to the 15th Judicial Circuit Nominating Commission and 4th District Court of Appeals Nominating Commission. Thiemann's law background factors heavily into his motivation to write about the radical Islamist movement. He has successfully litigated defended high-profile cases involving his clients and radical Islamist groups in the United States. It is very refreshing for me to see someone with this kind of a background not to be afraid to write a book such as this. Let's welcome now Florida National Republican Committeeman-elect Peter Thiemann. Are you there with us, Peter?
I am, Pastor Dan, and it's great to be on the show with you.
Well, it is really great for me. I'm really thrilled about having you on because a book like this, my brother, doesn't usually come out from somebody with your kind of a background. You know, it usually comes out from, you know, to the religious groups and things. And because it is, this book is, you talk about political correctness, this book, I'm surprised they wouldn't run you out of town on a rail.
Well, I'll tell you what, you speak the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Yes, amen.
And this book is about truth. And this book is about the truth that our culture does not want to recognize. And that truth, Pastor Dan, is that there is a wolf in our midst, and we refuse to recognize it. And unless we do, our country, which I think has been, is the greatest country that's ever been in the history of the world, our country's in big trouble, and that's what I write about in my book. Especially in the last chapter, I detail a scenario where if President Obama gets reelected, I detail a potential scenario that involves the destruction of the United States.
Well, you know, I really do want to go into that last chapter, but first, let's do this. Let's tell the folks how somebody like you just, you know, how did you come to write this, you know?
That's a great question. You know, I'm a member of a Rotary Club here in Florida, Pastor.
Really?
And so I'm sitting in the Rotary Club, and they have speakers every week. And back in 2006, one of our guest speakers was a pastor himself, and his title, his topic, was the Koran.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so negative about the Koran that, frankly, I didn't believe him, because
right.
I had been indoctrinated like everybody else, that, including told by our president back in 2001, that Islam was a religion or is a religion of peace, et cetera, et cetera. So I started to do my own research, Pastor,
mm-hmm.
and what I found absolutely shocked me. And as a trial attorney, I know how to do research. I'm trained in research. And as I got more and more into it, I found out that history has been rewritten. And so I set about to kind of summarize for just an average person in a book what the truth is. And I found that most books on this subject are like very scholarly,
mm-hmm.
and they're hard to get through. So I wanted to write a book that was very readable and easy, that you could get through if you just put it on your cocktail table, pick it up, read it 15
right.
minutes a night. You'll be done with it in two or three nights, and you'll come away with a whole world of information that will arm us all to face what's coming.
Absolutely.
And so that's how that came about, from a pastor, interestingly enough.
Well, amen. So, you know, in that setting, then, you know, I imagine the Holy Spirit of the Lord had a lot to do with that then. Really, folks, this book, I'm holding the book again. It's called The Next Nightmare, and I'm going to probably be saying this all the way through the program, but I really want you to get this book. I want you to read it, and I want you to share it with other people. Let's do with this, because I do have a lot of questions lined out here, but I think the biggest impacting thing is, from your opinion, I want to know about that last chapter. I want to know what do you think will happen if Obama is reelected?
Well, let's start with this, Pastor. Let's start with the Islamist seven-step plan for world domination, because
okay.
That's where it begins. They have actually published a seven-step plan for world domination. It was an exhibit in a federal trial involving what is called the Holy Land Foundation trial. There were a lot of Islamic so-called charities that were discovered to have been fronts for just raising money for terrorists, not only here in the United States, but worldwide. And so the Bush administration got the Justice Department involved, and a lot of them got indicted. And one of the exhibits in that trial was al-Zawahiri's seven-step plan for world domination, who's associate of al-Qaeda, however you want to pronounce it. And here's what's really scary, Pastor. Step four, and it's detailed in the book. Step four talks about, quote, the toppling of the moderate regimes of Egypt, Jordan, Turkey, and other Muslim states from the years 2010 to 2013. Now, this was published first in 2006.
2006? Okay. What I just heard is that plan's being implemented.
Amen. We are right in the middle of it. It says toppling of the Muslim regimes, and it mentions Egypt. Now,
right.
we've also seen Libya. We've also seen Tunisia. Yemen's in big trouble. Syria's in big trouble. And so what's happening is the radical Islamists who are bent on world domination are in the process of step four. Now, with a closet Muslim in the White House, it doesn't take much to get to the next step, which I talk about in my last chapter. But listen to step five. the formation of a new world order between 2013, when does the next president take office, 2013 after the election, and 2016, based on an Islamic caliphate, which we can talk about in a minute, as a world power, and, quote, the weakening of the United States and Israel, close quote. Now, what do we see our president doing over these last 3.5 years as president? We've seen him absolutely.
Well, we've seen him absolutely. He has, not only did he back these, the fall of those nations, the realigning of them, but everything has been plus towards Muslims and anti-Christian. Is that where you're going?
You are absolutely correct. And what I do in my book, as I create a number of stories, I take events that are happening today, look at them objectively, and then just take them to their logical conclusion. So if you take the re-election of this president, and we saw this week how when he whispered to the leader of Russia, don't worry about it, after I get elected, I'll have more flexibility. Do you see how that's all tying that? I don't know if your listeners were aware of that, but he thought the microphone was off, and he got caught saying to the Russian leader, hey, I can't do much about arms control right now, but after I get elected, I'll have more flexibility.
That's downright spooky. Yeah, and, I've been pushing it a lot. I also have a blog, a news service, and I've been pushing that a lot. But the normal American didn't think much about that.
Oh, no. And so then in my book, I detail how a bunch of our nuclear secrets have been stolen from our nuclear lab in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and other places around the country, and they're unaccounted for. Laptops have been stolen. So I detail a terrorist attack in 2013 of unprecedented proportions using what's called magnetic impulse bombs, which are nuclear devices that EMPs, electronic magnetic pulse bombs, which are exploded in the air above cities, and what it does is it destroys every bit of electrical circuitry in a given area. So if you explode an EMP over New York, every single electrical circuit, every single car, every single cell phone, your power grids that are run by electrical circuits all go out, and you create chaos. Once the chaos starts, then the president will declare martial law. He just did 2 weeks ago an executive order increasing his powers in the event of a national emergency. This is all fact. I mean, you can't make stuff up, right? He declares martial law because we have a crisis, because I see terrorist attacks coming at various cities around the country, declares martial law and begins to consolidate his power. And if you remember the book that he wrote before he ran for president, he said, when the winds of change blow, I'm going to take the side of the Muslims.
Absolutely.
You can't make this stuff up.
No.
And I follow a scenario. And as you are well more aware of than I am, America, the United States, is nowhere mentioned in our eschatology, in our end times prophecies. And so what happens? And if you believe that we are approaching the end times, and I happen to believe that, of course, we never know when. If somebody wants to tell you when, run from them. But I think there's a lot of things that are happening that tells us we're in the end times. And I fear for the survival of our country.
Let me throw a couple of comments in here. Number one, I said at the first program, I believe that we are in the time of the end. Of course, I don't know the day and the hour, but it does say that on in Thessalonians. It says, but you are not children of the darkness, and that you should know the time and the season, and that season is close. The other thing that I would say is the scary thought there is the fact that for the things to be done that speak of, or the attacks that are supposed to come against Israel in the end time, the only way that could happen is if America would either A, would be taken out of the way, or A or B became her enemy, so to speak.
Or have a president that really doesn't care about Israel as an ally.
Right, right.
And lets Israel fend for itself. And boy, it sure seems we're heading in that direction. Of course,
yeah,
you know, we serve the Most High God so that we know that Israel will be protected.
Amen. And I believe that's part of the blessing that's been on this nation is because that we have extended that hand to Israel and that the Father used us so that, you know, Israel could fulfill its destiny of coming back.
That's correct. That's correct. I mean, no nation in the history of the world has been a better friend to Israel than the United States. And we've been blessed in part because of that. And as we start to walk away from that, and as we start to walk away from the Judeo-Christian values that have made this country so great, fellow Christians, be aware and be warned and be ready.
Amen.
That's another reason why I wrote the book, too, so that we can be
aware. I'm glad to hear that warning. I didn't mean to interrupt you, brother.
No.
I'm so glad to hear that warning coming from somebody as like you. And even, like it said, Alan West, you know, recommended that everybody, as I'm recommending again right now, you know, pastors and everybody out there listening, you need to get copies of this book and distribute it. But I guess what bears to ask is, so how did we become so, you know, 20 years ago, none of this stuff could happen. How did we become so blindly politically correct, I guess, is what I might ask.
Yeah, I attribute it to our values neutral or moral relativism culture. And here's what happens. We've been taught wrongly, but we've been taught that all religions are supposedly equal, all cultures are equal, so that if you then criticize one culture or one religion, then, gee, I thought everybody was supposed to be equal, so if you're criticizing, you must be a bigot or you must be a racist. And then the fear factor starts that, oh, you don't dare criticize or point out the flaws in some other theology or ideology, or you become a racist. Suddenly we become then, we lose our freedom of speech and everything becomes politically correct. And then when somebody dares stand up and tell the truth, they get roundly criticized. But as I like to say, truth can be intolerant, but it's still the truth.
What I say all the time, always, I'm telling my wife and other people, I said, well, it is what it is, and the truth is the truth.
Right.
And that's, you know, it doesn't change anything. Our children, you know, have you noticed that we seem to have a group of young people that, when you bring up some of these things, they've been so re-educated or educated in a different direction that they just really don't notice it. Has our universities truly been infiltrated by professors that are of this manner?
Yes, without question. And I describe it as the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, clearly, an enemy of the Judeo-Christian value system are radical Islamists. I mean, the radical Islam or Sharia Islam is the antithesis of Christianity. And I'll just digress for a second. We know, Pastor, that our religion is a covenant religion. God makes a covenant with us. And he makes a promise by just simply accepting him and turning our lives over to him, then we get eternal salvation. Whereas, what's the antithesis of that? The antithesis of that is if you do certain things every day and follow what some God says you must do in terms of praying five times a day to the east and this and that and the other thing, that maybe you can get to heaven. Well, that's the antithesis of what our God says. And so, as a result, we have the enemy of the Judeo-Christian culture. Now, you have the leftists and who don't like the Western culture for a lot of different reasons, but they loathe capitalism. I mean, it's the whole Occupy Wall Street crowd and all of that. So they've been taught that somehow America is bad, et cetera, et cetera. So the enemy of my enemy, meaning they look at capitalism as their enemy, Sharia Islam is the enemy of capitalism and freedom. So the enemy of my enemy becomes my friend, and somehow Islamists then get a free pass with regard to things that they can do, but Christians and Jews clearly don't. And that's how we end up where we're at. For example, they don't serve pork anymore in the Ohio prison system. Now, why is that? That's because the Muslims demanded that pork be taken away because that offended them. Can you imagine if the Jewish inmates there said, you know, we don't want pork? They'd say, get lost.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
But the Muslims get a free pass on that. And you see examples of that all over the place going on. The sound ordinances in Dearborn, Michigan have now been changed to allow the wailing of the Muslim sirens call to prayer five times a day. Yet, can you imagine if a group of Christians wanted to change the sound ordinances in a city because they wanted to ring their church bells five times a day? What kind of reaction do you think you'd get? So suddenly you wake up in a country that you don't recognize anymore. And that's why I wrote this book, another reason, to sound the alarm.
Yeah, absolutely, and you're absolutely correct. It amazes me now. I've been doing, I was somewhat pointed to some of this, you know, before 9/11, but naturally after 9/11, I do talk radio. I've been doing it for a long time, and so we have been on this subject. You know, we've even had some ex-Muslim terrorists. I don't know if you ever heard of Waleed Shubat.
Oh, yes.
He's been on with us, and so we've had some other ones on here with us. And so, you know, we're pretty educated about it, but, you know, it seems like what we say is kind of almost like it's staying in a little tiny circle, so to speak. But Anyway, we're getting ready to go to a break, and then we'll come back in 3 minutes, and we'll take this whatever direction you want to go. But why don't you explain them where they can find this book on the, I guess, on the Internet, but I'm sure Amazon has it, but point us to your website.
Yeah, the best place to get it is just at the website called thenextnightmare.com, which is the name of the book, thenextnightmare.com. And there you can even sign up for our newsletter free of charge. We're not looking to, you know, take money from people for anything other than just buying the book. The dirty little secret of Amazon.com, Pastor, is they take 65% of every book.
Well, that's not good. And then they usually charge you a really strong postage fee on top of it, so you really don't get all that much. I like to go to the guest, and, you know, like you, it's a better thing. And then you're more apt to get your fair share out of it, and people are going to get the truth. Anyway, folks, we'll be back in three more minutes with more from Peter Feeman and The Next Nightmare.
All right, thank you. Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
And you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Please consider a donation tonight for a Wichita Mission Church. We need your help to help those people that have been hurt by this failing economy. Men, women, and children seek our help, just as the pregnant woman with twins that came in the other day with a part-time job. She noticed she couldn't get a real job, but she's not counted as unemployed. But she cannot find enough money and enough work, and she was low on her motel rent. Well, I gave her $20. That was all she needed for that night, but that doesn't help her out completely. The only agencies that would help her are ones that wanted her to give up her children. They said, sure, we'll come in and help you, and we'll take care of you, but you got to give up your children, as she's carrying twins. But anyway, these stories of the people that we help go on and on and on. No donation is too small or not needed. Please pray and consider if the work that we do is worthy. You can send a donation by mail with a check or money order, or donate tonight online. Just go to prophecyhour.com for the mailing address, or donate by PayPal. And if you need to, you can call me at 620-878-4682, and I'll give you the information that you need. Now we're back with this very important program about the next nightmare with Peter Freeman. Are you there with me, Peter?
I am, Pastor.
Well, I'm so glad to have you on. You know, I think one of the things that we should probably, a good place to bring it up is, you were talking about organizations. You know, there's one organization I wish they would just completely run out of business, and it's called CAIR, CARE. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful program?
Yes, the Council on American and Islamic Relations certainly does not care about us. They have been a front group. They were an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation trial that I mentioned earlier. And after that, the FBI took them off their list. Unbelievably, the FBI used to use CARE to conduct sensitivity training for their agents on how to deal with the Muslim community until they became an unindicted coke. That's absolutely fact.
I'm shocked because I really do know about terror, and I'm really pretty sure. That's like, that would have been like in World War II getting a SS man to give us some sensitivity training. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, bring in the SS into the synagogues to tell them about how the Nazis really care about the Jewish population.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's sort of like the same thing. And so you have care, and at least and in Florida we have a guy who is head of care here in Florida called Ahmed Bedier, B-E-D-I-E-R, and I had a lawsuit that involved him because we had scheduled a free speech event with Gert Wilders. I don't know if your audience is aware of him, but he's a Dutch parliamentarian, and he did a movie on how Sharia Islam treats women, which is nothing short of treating them as property like they did in the 8th century.
Right.
And we brought him over here to the United States to speak about radical Islam, and behind the scenes, the Islamists managed to get the event canceled 1 week before we were set to go. We had hundreds of people at RSVP'd, and all of a sudden an email showed up saying the event's canceled. Period.
Really?
And that's the type of lawsuit that we get involved in around the country on this sort of thing. But at any rate, CARE is nothing more than a front group, and yet they have credibility in the eyes of the mainstream press, or as some say, the lamestream press.
They
have credibility in the halls of Congress, and this is a scary thing. And this type of stuff needs to be exposed.
Well,
now, I'll tell you, there are some Congress people that are good and are wise to this. And there's a congressman from Charlotte, North Carolina, named Sue Myrick. There's Peter King out of New York, interestingly enough, who is all over this. And there are a few others. Rick Santorum, actually, has been talking about this for years.
That's great. I don't know what's going to happen with the election, although, as long as they keep prolonging it, I don't think that's good for the Republican side, the side of freedom, I'll vote for anybody but Obama. I mean, I didn't have the expectation that I wanted in who was going to become candidate or who would even run, but I will, folks, you need to vote for anybody but Obama.
Yeah, remember, there's no perfect candidate. However, there is a terribly, terribly imperfect candidate who's presently in that office. And you can't do worse.
Well, I think an example should be a good example of what America could expect. If I've really been educated a lot about what's going on in Europe. And, you make a comment in your book that, Europe's about to disappear as we know it.
Oh, yeah, sure, Pastor. I have a whole chapter devoted to the disappearance of Europe, and I even write a story about it as like a children's tale. You all remember the three little pigs, where the big bad wolf comes and says, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. Well, in my story of the three little pigs, I make the three little pigs the Europeans, and the big bad wolf, of course, are the Islamists. And what's happened over in Europe is, number one, they haven't been having babies. And so there's a real a birth dearth, I call it, is that there's no indigenous Europeans being born. There's a lot of reasons for that. But there's not enough to repopulate themselves. And so what happens is you lay on top of that unbridled immigration, which is a problem we need to come to grips with here in the United States. Except over there, the immigrants, by and large, have been Islamists. And unlike our immigrant population, and by and large, we've taken in the Italians and the Czechs and the Poles and the Irish and the Koreans and the Vietnamese, and by and large, they want to become Americans, and a couple generations later, they're Americans.
Right.
Well, the Islamists have no intention of becoming Europeans, and no intention, by and large, of becoming Americans, but over in Europe, they have their own enclaves over there where the police don't go. They have their own educational system. They're called no-go zones, and that's those are like the host cells from which radical Islam is going to spring, and within 20 years, Europe will be an Islamic colony.
Right.
And that's pretty scary. But, you know, there's a reason for that, too, Pastor, and I can't say this in other audiences, but in this I think I can. There's a real spiritual vacuum in Europe. And when you have a spiritual vacuum, into that vacuum will march radical Islam, because there's nothing to stop it. What can stop it in the United States is a revival in this country. If
Absolutely.
We get a revival, we will be spiritually be able to defend the anti-Christianity, which is radical Islam.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head with things. If we would just revive ourselves without even focusing on Islam or any of the problems, but if we would just have revival within the churches and evangelistic and stand up for what is Christian, then we, number one, would automatically know what's wrong. You know what I'm saying? And we would stand up for it, and that light. It's just like if you light a candle in a room. One candle in a dark room starts the light, but you light another candle and then another candle, and finally what does it do? It pushes all the light, pushes the darkness out.
That's right.
And so that's what we need in America. You did hit the nail right on the head.
See, when you're spiritually empty, that leaves a hole for Islam to march in. When you're spiritually filled with Christianity, that inoculates you against an anti-Christian ideology to come in into your life. But when you're spiritually empty, you're vulnerable. And so, yeah, I pray for a revival of this country every day.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, all my parents, my grandparents fought in World War I. My parents fought in World War II. And, boy, I hate to see that be in vain.
Well, you know, amen. There's a buddy of mine. He's about 7 or 8 years older than me, and I just missed Vietnam. I mean, my draft number actually came up, and I was going to go to the Kansas City, which is, you know, go for my physical and everything. But Nixon, the wonderful president, he's kind of like one of my favorite presidents because he declared no more draft for me.
Well, you know, you and I must be about the same age then.
Yeah, and so, but my buddy that, like I say, that's a little older than me, but started helping out at the Mission Church, Steve, he served in Vietnam, and he was a door gunner and everything, and he was telling me the other day, he says, you know, I've been educating him since he's came back around the last couple of years, since he turned his life over to the Lord. And he says, you know, I just really love America, and he said, it's a hard pill to take, the things that, you know, you've been teaching me. He said, but I know you're absolutely right. But he says, I love America. And, you know, so, you know, that's the problem, too. So many of us love America that to get this pill of truth, so to speak, it's hard to swallow.
Yes, it is. And a lot of times people don't want to hear it. But the more that current events unfold, I think more people become more receptive to what we're saying. I mean, look at the killings that just took place in France last week with the three Jewish children, the rabbi, and the two military personnel over there in France. You know, and at first the mainstream press didn't want to admit that it was another radical Islamist, but there you go. I just saw a video this week of, in Libya, the destruction of a Christian Jewish cemetery that was erected after World War II to commemorate the liberation of that country by the Allied forces against the Nazis. And there were the folks that had taken over Libya from Gaddafi, and they were kicking over the headstones and taking down the cross. That was there, smashing down the cross. That was there. And I just saw that this week.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, you know, you look at I'd like to talk about the liberal media for a moment. The liberal media, these people that you, and I pray some of you liberals or Democrats or people that just disagree with me are listening tonight, because if you really knew what Sharia law was, especially you women out there that are so into being free, you don't realize what these people would do to you if they did take power. Will you address what, do they treat women very well?
Yeah, you're exactly right there. I mean, we're talking about fundamental human rights. Sharia-compliant Islam treats women like property. I mean, today, Saudi women, they can't drive cars, they can't vote. They're treated like women were 1,000 years ago. And, you know, Jesus was the first person that came along and gave women tremendous dignity. And people somehow overlook that or forget about that. But the way Islam treats women, I mean, I see them here in Florida where it's 80 degrees out and these poor women are head to toe in black burqas. They must be so uncomfortable. And of course you see it over there in the Middle East, but you see it more and more here in the United States.
Right.
Divorce law. All the man has to say is, I divorce you 3 times and you're done. That's it. So I've actually interviewed, because I'm thinking about my next book, which will detail about how Islam treats women, American women who have gotten taken in by a lot of this married Muslim men, and they can't get out. They fear for their lives. Their kids have been taken over back to the Middle East. They can't get them. And it's a scary thought. Women are completely treated like property in Sharia-compliant Islam.
They talk about, we hear more and more about honor killings. I guess the big one that comes to mind was the man that was just convicted in Canada.
Correct.
Was he drowned his 2 daughters and another wife or something, didn't he?
Yeah, they were 2 Western. And I read the article that was written in the mainstream press, never mentioned that it was an honor killing in compliance with what he believed was his Sharia scripture. They just gloss over that fact.
The press, I mean, there we go back to the press again. The press used to be the other arm of the government. I mean, so to speak, if something was wrong, you know, I remember guys, they really get involved with the story and they'd tell the truth. They were supposed to have neutrality. And the garbage, and I do mean the garbage that these people put out, it seemed almost traitorous at times.
It is. You know, you used to be able to count on the press to bring the truth to light.
Right.
I mean, lately they've just been a lapdog for the Obama administration in terms of what they report and what they don't report. There is, got the report recently how a bunch of members of the press in Wisconsin signed the petition to remove the governor from office. Well, if you sign that petition, how can you be a Capitol reporter in Wisconsin and report on the governor's doings objectively when you've already signed the petition to have him removed?
Yeah, I heard that today, and I also heard there were some judges on those petitions.
Yes.
That's what Fox News reported today. If they somehow managed to shut down Fox News, I think we'd be in the dark, except for, you know, I think the big factor is I don't think that Obama nor the, it's like they're kind of dumb to that fact that there's a thing called YouTube and that every word they say can go on YouTube. You ain't thoughts on that?
Thank goodness that there's been technology that's been raised up that allows dissemination of truth. I read the whole Left Behind series of books, and they talk about underground communications in order to get the truth out with the presence of the Antichrist. And we have a whole way to communicate underground, if you will, through YouTube, through the internet, that they can't regulate, they can't wipe out, and really, that could be the saving grace, if you will, of our ability to get truth out, because at some point the government, if trends continue, will clamp down, or just through the mainstream press, just won't print the truth with regard to what's happening. And so, everybody needs to be on the internet. Everybody.
And folks, you need to, and when you see these petitions about internet privacy and all these things, I mean, you know, they've tried several times in this last year with a couple different bills that have been, you know, they raised so much cane that on the internet that they didn't do anything, but they are trying to take over the internet. And I believe that if Obama gets another term, kind of like he told that Russian, the Russians, he said, you know, well, wait till my next term because, you know, I don't have to run for reelection. It could amaze you what he could do.
That's almost treasonous, saying something like that.
To me, it would have been treasonous back 20 years ago.
Yeah, it would.
Apologizing to your enemies and all those things.
Oh, yeah, bowing to the king of Saudi Arabia. I mean, the list goes on and on. You know, his first foreign country he visited was a Muslim country. He has yet to visit Israel, our number one and best ally in that area of the world. You know, and I don't care what you say, this is a country founded and built upon the values of Judeo-Christian scripture.
Absolutely.
And to deny that is just flat out not to tell the truth.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this question. So, how long has this book been out? Not very long.
Just came out last month.
Last month.
Last month.
I guess you haven't had a chance to get any bad feedback yet, or good, or what? What do you?
Nobody's threatened my life yet, but I do have remote control starting
yet.
For my car.
Yeah, I would do that.
You know, and I spoke to a pastor down here. Our church is called Calvary Chapel, and we have Pastor Coy, Bob Coy, and he really encouraged me to write this book.
Well, amen. So then you've got, now, a lot of churches, you know, there is a lot of churches that if you start talking about the Muslims, you know, you get run out. You know what I'm saying? So it's really great that you have a church and a pastor that would, you know, back you up, that was, encourage
yes.
you in this.
Yeah, he is aware, and we've had discussions off the record.
Mm-hmm.
Where I give my opinion, which is I believe that the Antichrist will come out of the Muslim religion.
I absolutely agree with you. We've had some folks on here, and we've talked about this a lot. Let me say this one statement. The Muslim religion, they say that Allah has no son. Well, he who denies the son, Yeshua, denies also the Father, and that spirit is Antichrist.
Amen.
But let alone, have you ever heard of the Mahdi?
Yes.
Everything about him or what he would do matches up almost exactly with tit for tat with the Antichrist. You
correct.
Know
the 12th Imam.
Yeah, the 12th Imam.
The Muslim end times prophecy is scary in the sense that it mimics Christian end times prophecy, but it's just the opposite. And they say that there will be a period of great worldwide conflict, and out of that will arise the Muslim Messiah, who will unite the world in peace, and there will be 7 years of peace and prosperity. Of course, we know that the Antichrist time is set for 7 years.
Yes.
And so yet they talk about 7 years of peace and prosperity. And so it's uncanny how they talk about the false prophet the same way we do. And it's amazing. Even there, if you go back to the Old Testament scripture, they celebrate Father Abraham and his faithfulness, but not through Isaac. Their scripture says that Abraham was told by their God to sacrifice Ishmael. And when he was willing to do so, God stayed his hand at the last minute and then promised that Abraham, through Ishmael's descendants, would be as numerous as the sands on the beach and the stars in the sky, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And so they claim that they're the chosen ones through Ishmael. Of course, he's...
Yeah, we know better. Absolutely. So, you know, that's in part why I think that some of these people that try to talk about Iran don't, you know, they say, well, Iran wouldn't do that. They wouldn't be so stupid as to have a nuclear weapon or do that. They'd be retaliation on them. But they don't realize that they're not dealing with somebody that's, we'll call it a sane society, they're basing every, their society is based on their religion of the Mahdi coming back and already being on the planet.
Right. Right. And the only way they can usher in the Mahdi is to start a worldwide conflict, because that's the precursor to the arrival of their Mahdi. And what better way to do that than to acquire and then use a nuclear weapon?
Absolutely. And let alone if they make nuclear weapons, they don't even have to shoot them off themselves. They can give them to another arm or whatever and do it. Well, Peter, I'm going to have to let you go here in a minute, but your book is The Next Nightmare, and maybe after it's been going out there for a while, maybe you'll come back on and we'll talk about it again.
That'd be great.
Okay.
That'd
so
be great.
I'll keep in touch, because I would like to know how, you know, I would like to personally know how you're doing and if you got any backlash from it. But tell the folks again and how to get it. Folks, you need to get the book, The Next Nightmare.
Sure.
Peter here, tell them how to get it.
Just go to www.thenextnightmare.com, and you'll see a lot of information where you can buy the book, you can sign up for the newsletter, you can get some more background information, and that's a good way to stay in touch with me at no charge, of course, other than just buying the book and spread the good word.
Okay.
Out there so that we can be forewarned and forearmed.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'll put all your email, or not email, but I'll put your website contact folks where they can find the website in the podcast archives. It'll go up about an hour after this program goes off tonight.
Very good.
All right. Well, be blessed, brother, and thanks for being on. Goodbye and shalom to you.
God bless you, brother. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Folks, the book is The Next Nightmare. And, yeah, a lot of you that might be my regular listeners that go, well, we've heard this stuff before, Pastor Dan. You've talked about it many times, and you even had guys that went into greater detail. The point of this book is who this man is. Peter Feeman, and it's got a foreword by Alan West, which is a congressman. These people are more mainstream. And, you know, I talked about this even with our producer out there, Frank, during break. It needs to, there's a lot of us that are informed, but it needs to go out past us. And so this is a good book, folks, that you would get and give it to somebody that's, you know, that doesn't believe it, but, you know, they don't have to be too far to left. Just your fellow people in your church, to your pastors, give it to your pastors. And they're more apt to believe this because of who this man is. And so tonight's program was about the information, but it was about also who this mainstream media person is. He's a trial attorney. And so in some circles, that makes him more credible than some of the others. Also, I still think that a companion book to get with this would be The Harbinger by Rabbi Jonathan Cain, because, you know, really, and I don't think America is going to get saved. It may get an extension on life, but I think we went too far. Really. Pray about it. Remember, the Father will heal the nation, but when will he heal the nation? When the nation repents. Do you see him repenting of abortion and homosexuality? All right, well, I better get out of here. Please, tonight, pray about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church. We have some expenses tomorrow coming up Friday, and we really need your help. Anyway, remember, there's only one God, and he is the Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave his life for our repented sins. Remember, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return, because there will never be peace till he returns. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.